It's women's retreat weekend, so it's always a little bit different at my house. And it's gotten easier over the years. I remember when my wife, Hannah, she used to go to the women's retreats, and I'd have kids, and I'd be walking around with those car seat things, you know, and I felt like my arms were getting really strong because I'm carrying around a couple kids, you know, doing this, changing diapers, doing all that stuff, and it was just really a physical job, and now it's not. It's more of a mental challenge. And this Friday was fun. I just realized, I started getting really stressed because I realized, man, I got to be in about three different places at one time, and there's just no way it's going to happen. And I just did my best, and I ended up being late to where I was going. But it was tough, very tough. So this makes us appreciate our wives when they're gone. So I think that's part of why they do it, you know, so that we can learn that. Amen. All right. Well, we'll continue in Hebrews. Now, if you're here, you get to hear this sermon, and they're missing it. So they're missing out. We've been going through all this time in Hebrews, so hopefully they'll listen to the recording, but you get the live version. Today, I'm going to be talking about leadership, and specifically spirit-filled Christian leadership, those people who help us to understand God and point us to Him and point us to the cross and teach us the Word of God. And we've had people in our lives that have helped us with that. We're almost at the end of the book of Hebrews. So there's just going to be one more sermon in Hebrews, and then the following week I'll do a wrap-up of the whole book, and then we'll be on to something else. But before we do, let's just take a moment and pray for the sermon today and the word that we read, and just that God would speak to us through this. Heavenly Father, thank you for today, Lord. As the ladies are up at the retreat, down at the retreat, we remember them, and we ask that they have a great morning, that they are really strengthened by your word and your Holy Spirit and the fellowship that they have with one another, Lord. I pray that you watch over them as they come back. We pray for safety. Lord, we also think of those people, a couple people I've heard had tires that blew out this week and had problems, and we just thank you that you provided safety in those situations, Lord. And we pray for today. We pray that as we read your word, that we would understand what it means, and we would know how to apply it to our lives, and that we would grow stronger in you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to just read through this. James, if you could follow along with me as we go through. I've got it in there twice, so we'll just go all the way through. So we're at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. And the context here is he had just recently talked about how we can count on this promise of God that He'll never leave us or forsake us. If we have a relationship with Him, no matter how hard the times are, no matter what we go through, we have God who loves us, and He's always there, and He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. And because of that promise, we can actually be radically different people. We can live radically different lives. We can love people in a different way. We can be the kind of Christians that God really wants us to be, but it really does depend on believing that promise that God is there with us, and that He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us, and He never writes us off. And I shared about how that promise even applied when we're doing the wrong thing, when we're turning our back on God. You know, I shared about the guy who realized that when he was looking at the wrong thing on the internet, that promise still applied to him, that God was right there, looking over his shoulder, and he was right there with him. And God promises He'll never leave us or forsake us. And when we turn our back on Him, or when we're hurt by life circumstances and things, and we're even angry at God, God is just still there, just pouring His love out on us, and He's just promising He'll never leave us, and He's there. And even when we yell at Him and we get upset, He's still there, just loving us, and His love doesn't change or diminish. It's just really as intense as it can be. And that promise lets us do things like show hospitality to strangers, to visit people in prison, to help people who are being mistreated, to do all these things. It also encourages us to honor marriage and to keep our marriage beds undefiled, you know, to have that high standard in our lives, he says. And so that is contingent on that promise, believing that promise. Now he goes on from here, and he's not done, and I think it fits into that same context. It all flows, it's all together. He says, remember your leaders. Let's just read through the whole thing. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those who devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sins are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Now have I gone? We still have it. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. I think that's where we stop. All right, so we're going to go through this a little bit closer now, verse by verse. So just go next slide there, James. We'll go through it now. Looking at what's been said. Now, first thing was remember your leaders. And I thought, as I was meditating and thinking about this, I took a really super long time on this one passage. Remember your leaders, and I started writing down who some of my leaders have been in my life, and thinking about why that person was a leader in my life. And honestly, I started getting a little teary-eyed. You know, I do that sometimes, especially when I think about these people in my lives that have meant a lot to me, and why? Why did this particular person mean so much to me? And I'm not just talking about leaders like, okay, this is a guy I work for, or this guy was my coach. I'm talking about those godly people in my life that pointed me to God, that helped me to have a faith in him, and helped me to trust him as my Savior, and help me to grow in him. Who have been those people in my life? And I thought about them, and some of them I could speak of have come from this church, and I can name names because they're not here, and they don't have to be uncomfortable with me naming names. But at first, when I thought it had to be my mom, you know, teaching me about God as a young boy, and I remember her taking us to chapel on base. I remember riding the army bus, singing songs to God and also paratrooper songs as we went. We would sing these songs, you know, army songs and praise songs mixed together. But mom taught us about the Lord and really wanted us to believe. And where it says in the scripture, you know, never stop talking about God to your kids. I mean, I think my mom just definitely believed that. So she'd have to be my first leader. And so I think, especially with Mother's Day coming up, you know, you moms can make a huge difference, and dads too. So just know that. My mom was one of my first leaders that told me about God. I thought about some others. There were a few that came to my mind as I was sitting thinking about it. But one memory I have is this couple that taught us in Sunday school when I was in elementary school on chapel in Fort Lewis. They had us memorize all the books of the Bible. And then they gave us a Bible when we did that, and they put our name on it. And I don't even remember their names, but for some reason that just stood out to me. I looked at this couple, I really admired them, and I really am very thankful that they had us memorize the books of the Bible. I mean, to this day, it goes back to when I memorized it back in that grade, back in grade school. And I really looked up to them, and I think I considered them leaders. I don't know a lot about what their life was like outside. I know that he was an officer in the army. But having led us and seeing that it was important to memorize those books of the Bible so we could find them when we have to look them up, that was significant. That was important to me. Some other people that came to mind as leaders, let's see, a couple that aren't here, Ralph and Ann. They used to teach my Sunday school class when I was in high school. And I remember, choked up, you know. I remember spending time with them, and I remember... Ralph tells me I used to always come with a joke every week. It'd be a new joke. And for some reason, he laughed at my jokes. And he probably was just doing that to make me feel welcome and accepted, I think. But I really appreciated him for that, and appreciate it. And I would still say, you know, I learned so much from these people. Like today, I feel like I learned from Ralph what it means to have an abundant life. Like how to age and just still have a passion for life. Amen. Can any of you guys relate? Do you guys look up to Ralph? And I could kind of say this a little bit with him not being here and not putting him on the spot, but to be in his 70s and still going strong. And I bet if you guys sign up for mountain biking, you're going to be in for a new experience when you go with Ralph. So I'll just warn you. Is that true, Pat? So, Ralph, I think he's taught me a lot about how to have an abundant life, how to age, how to live with passion. And Anne is a person who, if you know her, she's one that'll teach you how to really wait on the Lord and just trust Him and listen to the Holy Spirit. If you ever ask Anne, can you do this? She'll say, I'm going to go pray about that and see if the Lord is guiding me and leading me in that way. And so these are people that we should be just very thankful to have. I thought of Pastor Lynn. And what did you learn from Pastor Lynn when he was here? Just take a minute and think about it. Like if you had to say, like, he was a leader and he pointed me to God. And what did he do? What did he do for you? And I have something for me that I could say was that he showed me how to be a man of prayer and to trust God in that way and the importance of prayer. And I remember he'd always pull us aside and say, well, let's pray. And we would get together. We would stand. We would never neglect to pray. Amen. Is that true for you guys that got together with him? I would say there were other things. I always considered him one of the most spiritually mature people that I knew. In the face of conflict and difficulty, he never got upset. He never, you know, he just stayed calm. And I really appreciated that. And I looked to him as a leader in that way. It's easy to, if you really, really spend time thinking about who the people that have made a difference in your life, it hits you. And so, the next one is hard for me to talk about. Maybe I can't. Maybe I have to come back to it. It's an odd thing, because believe me, I value being a tough guy as much as any of you guys here. I do, and I really hate to cry. It really bothers me. Isn't there any Kleenex in here anywhere? Would help me.
These are fresh.
Those are fresh. These aren't. They don't look fresh, but but no, I guess they are. Humor helps me too. It's always good in the recording when you can hear this. Makes it really real. Once I kind of work through it, then I'm usually a little bit better. But before I came here, I was at part of this church, Antioch Bible Church. And I started there like right after college. We graduated college. And I grew up in, like I said, the chapel. And then we became part of this church when I was in about ninth grade. And then next church when I was in college, Cheney Community Church, was a lot like this church. And smaller community churches, and we made a lot of great friends and got connected with a lot of people. But all through that, I always had a little bit of a bad attitude about church. I thought church was boring. I didn't say that to anybody, because I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be disrespectful in that way. I would do my best to make it look like I was listening and I was paying attention and I was taking it all in. And I did value what was being said, and I really had a relationship with God. But for me, to sit in church, kind of hard, kind of boring. And I even became a youth director, and I still had this same thing, you know. And sometimes I would be able to hear what was being said and I would learn from it. But when I went up to, when I graduated college, we moved up to Redmond and we joined Antioch Bible Church. There was a man that probably did more for me than anyone. Like, and I hate crying talking about him, but he really got me interested in the Word. And, I could just sit and listen to him talk all day. And he'd have these sermons, they're 40 minutes or whatever, and I would never be bored the whole time. I'd sit there engaged and just listen to what he was saying. And he's a guy that I really looked up to. Why did I look up to him? Well, partly because I was a football player. I liked football. I was really big into football. He had played in the NFL. Just big guy, bigger than life. And but I'd say, like, when I look back, what did he do for me? as a leader? How did he really help me? Well, I think he did. You know, if we think of that, what Pastor Lynn says, seeing God as he really is, I think he helped me to see God as he really is, as awesome, amazing, interesting, big, strong, powerful, mighty, masculine, almighty God. And so for me, that was really significant. And I think probably why I get a little upset talking about this, because he just went to be with the Lord not long ago. So it touches me as I think about it. All right, you guys have some leaders in your lives too. And I would encourage you, like it says here, to remember your leaders. Think about those people who have told you about the Lord, have specifically shared with you the gospel, the good news, which is that God's real, He loves you. You can have a relationship with Him, even though that you sin and I sin and that puts us in separation from God. We can be restored. We can be brought close to Him through what Jesus did on the cross. If we truly believe that and we truly receive Him as our Lord and our Savior, that He'll forgive our sins and we'll be right with Him. All right. So remember your leaders. And it says here, those who spoke to you the word of God. Now, it says this too, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So when you have your leaders and you think about who your leaders are, I hope that you'll do this today. Just spend a little time thinking about those people. Look back. But when you think about them, think about the outcome of their lives. Now, that doesn't mean like, okay, yeah, that boy, things went really well for him. He had a big house and his business was always good. But just means like, how did that person live their life through the various trials and difficulties that came? And how did they stay true to their faith? And how did they walk in it? Remember that. And it says here that you should imitate their faith. So remember their lives. And I would say also, we'll touch on this a little bit, but the fruit that was in their lives. And imitate their faith. Now, sometimes we get this wrong. We imitate people's behavior and their conduct, and we don't imitate their faith. So what's it saying to imitate? Their faith. So I don't have to be just like Pastor Lynn. Or I don't have to be just like another person, conduct myself in exactly the same way. But what I had to look at is that person's faith and to imitate their faith. So as a leader, as you look at and you think about who would be a good leader, or if you yourself want to be a good leader, you need to have a faith that's worth imitating. And that's what we ought to look to in our leaders. All right, so this is a bit of a transition here, but I think it fits right in the middle between these two things, and it really fits with leadership. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is not changing. Now, what do you mean by Jesus not changing? In the fact that He's God, He's fully God and He's fully man. He had change in the fact that when He was a man and He grew and He learned and he had to learn to walk when He was a little baby. All right, He changed in those ways. But in the fact that He's God, He's unchanging. So He doesn't change His mind about things. He doesn't give a decree and then take it back. He doesn't make a promise and then not deliver on His promise. If you look in your bulletin, there's just a few verses I listed at the bottom of one of the pages that are just some verses that talk about God and how He doesn't change. And in theology, this is called immutability. So He's unchanging. And that's important. And He's not going to change His mind about the cross. That's good. That's good to know. And if He says something that is a sin, Jesus doesn't get with the 21st century and say, you know, I've changed my mind about how I think about that today. He says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a fixed point of reference for us. And we really need that because we live in changing times. Things are shifting. Everything's different. What was wrong is right. And to stand up for what the Bible says is right, sometimes you get yourself in a lot of trouble. But the thing you got to know, and what you got to look for in a leader, and what you need to look for in yourself as you grow as a leader, is just to know Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you got to stand on that. I got one amen. Can I get another? Amen. I mean, and it's good to know. Also, If you look on the bulletin, one of them talks about how God is unchanging and therefore, you know, Israel is not consumed. You know, he made promise to them. He's going to stay true to his promise. And for you, it's the same. You know, that fact that he's always going to be with us, he'll never leave us or never forsake us, he's not going to change his mind about that. All right, now it goes from this to saying, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. So the point is, you know, as you think about who's leading you, who's teaching you, you know, Jesus Christ is unchanging. There's not going to be a new way. And so don't get swept up by strange teachings. And apparently the strange teaching here had something to do with food, of what you eat and how you take it in. And that's a way to worship God. So we don't want to get swept away by any strange teachings. That fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever helps us not to get taken captive by false teachers. Now, another really interesting thing is he says, you know, you're not going to be strengthened by food or benefited by food. You're going to be strengthened by grace. So how is it that you're strengthened by grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. Sometimes we express that as God's riches at Christ's expense. I like that. It's just God's goodness given to us that we don't deserve. And we get stronger by that. And so some of the ways that you get stronger is you get in His Word. And you spend time with Him. And you try to study. And you get with other Christians. And it's like when I go to the gym, sometimes it's really fun to work out with other people. I look at it as that same kind of a thing. You know, you work out with other people in the Word, and you're trying to grow, and you're trying to get stronger. You know, we're in this together. That kind of mentality. But that goodness of God, when we pick up His Word and we read it, we don't deserve that, but He gives it to us because He loves it. It makes us stronger. And so sometimes we don't eat enough from His Word, and we're not as strong as we should be. And you think about it, you know, what do they say is the most important meal of the day? Breakfast. Some people say, I don't eat breakfast, I skip breakfast, you know. But your meals are important to take in your food and to eat and to grow stronger. And sometimes we're skipping meals in the Word of God and we're not strong as we should be because we're not really valuing it. It's like skipping a bunch of meals. Now I know physically there was a time I wasn't eating enough and I seldom have had this problem. But my schedule made it so I was so busy, and I was going to play basketball during lunch. And some of you might play soccer or something else, and you might be able to relate to this. And I wanted to go play basketball. I'd go play basketball there. It'd leave me almost no time to eat lunch. So I'd eaten breakfast. I'd pretty much skip lunch. And I did this, and I would get really, really super hungry for dinner. I'd eat dinner. And pretty soon, it started to catch up with me. My heart started fluttering. I started feeling really weak. It's anxious too started setting in, and I wasn't getting enough sleep all at the same time. And I realized, man, I'm in a bad state. And one of the things that I did was I started eating lunch. I think it got my blood sugar right. It started helping me, and I started feeling a lot less anxiety and things too. But I think that can happen to us spiritually too. When we're not really getting enough of the Word of God, when we're not being nourished and strengthened and encouraged by His grace, we're going to have similar problems, and we can be under similar spiritual attacks. So just remember, be strengthened by His grace. Alright, now this part is a part that's probably hardest to understand about this, and I'm going to tell you what I think it means in whole. But he says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. Now remember, the background, the context is, these are people from Jewish background who are struggling in the faith as Christians and are thinking about going back to just Judaism. And so he's been encouraging them not to give up. And he says, we have this altar, from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. So the tent would be, he's talking about the Jewish system, the Jewish way. The tent being the tabernacle, you know, you think of the temple, that, where they do the sacrifices. So he says, we have this altar that they have no right to eat. What do you think that altar is? That altar is the cross, where Christ went and He laid down His life for us. So we have this altar where just, if you're part of the system, you don't have a right to eat from that. Now you can't, he's not saying that they're excluded, that they can't come and, but he's talking about the system, how they're trying to go back to the Jewish system. So they have no right to eat. He says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. Now he's talking about the sacrifices that are made as part of the system. And he's saying that those sacrifices had to be killed and burned outside the camp. They weren't allowed to be in the camp or in the city or in the temple. They had to be burned outside the camp. And now he makes a comparison to Jesus. He says, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. If you saw what the city looked like, Calvary, the cross, the hill where Jesus died, was outside of the city gate. So they took him outside the city gate. But it's the same thing that they would do with the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices that they would make. And so he says, you know, here's Jesus. You have to go to him outside of the gate. And I think the point here being, it says it here, therefore let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. The point is, you got to go to God outside of the system of Judaism. You got to go to the cross. You got to go to outside of that old altar. You got to go to the new altar, the cross. And I think that's the big point that he's making here. And it sounds fairly foreign to us, but this part doesn't. I think you'll get this too. He says, you got to bear the reproach he endured. Jesus going out and dying on the cross, even though we wear cross necklaces and we consider them to be something that we put on our jewelry and we celebrate, that was like the electric chair back then. That was a very shameful way to die and to go. And for him to be out there, and you remember how they stripped him and how they treated him and what they did. He's saying that, you know, as a person going to Christ, you need to go out to the cross and you need to bear his reproach. So it's the thing, is if you're a Christian, if you really love God and you really want to stand on His truths and you really want to follow Him and obey Him, you're going to have some people that don't like you very much. Now sometimes they don't like you because maybe you've hurt their feelings or you've said the wrong thing. And I'm not talking about that kind of case, but I'm just talking about the fact that if you stand on truth, you believe in God, you obey what He says, and you even love people the way He wants you to love them, not everybody's going to like that. Some people just don't believe, and some people are really just opposed to what it is that the Bible teaches. And that's bearing His reproach. And we need to be willing to do that. We can't give up our faith when it gets hard. And remember, this goes back to the context of what he's saying. Life has been very hard for these people. Some have lost jobs, some have lost property. Don't give up. You're bearing Christ's reproach. Now, he says this, he goes on, it's more encouragement. He says, for here we have a lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. So there's a city that is far better than any city that we have here. There's a home that's far better than any home. There are possessions that are far better than any possessions. The Bible says that we're just a mist that's here today and gone tomorrow. But we're going to go and live for eternity with God and with our loved ones who've trusted the Lord as their saviors. We're going to be together. We're going to have a great reunion. He says, we have this city to come, this lasting city that nobody can take away. Nobody can come and remove. Nobody can persecute you out of. What should we do then? It says, through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. You and I have a choice to make every single day. What's going to be on our lips? What are we going to say? Are we going to complain? Are we going to talk people down? Are we going to treat people poorly with what we speak and what we say? Are we going to lie? Are we going to cheat? Or are our lips going to be used for serving God, for giving Him praise, for just lifting up our words and for acknowledging Him in all our ways? He says this, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So he's the writer to this original audience is saying, don't give up on trying to do good things, on sharing with other people, to making sacrifices and helping each other, and just being in this together. Don't give up on encouraging each other and helping each other. All right, let's just close with four things. Four things that we've already seen that you should look for in good spiritual leaders and that you should desire in yourself to be a good spiritual leader. So, number one, inspect their life, inspect the leader's life, and you'll find the fruit of the Spirit. Now, remember how that one verse, I'm getting this from the verse where it says, consider their way of life. Look at their way of life and the outcome of their way of life. A good leader, you should be able to look at their life and you should be able to see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. you should see good things. Now, what should you see? Now, we know what the fruit of the Spirit is. Joy. That's more than just happiness. But that is something that you have that's a lot like happiness, but you can have it through difficult circumstances. Love. Love is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling, but love is giving. Love is serving. Love is self-sacrificing. Peace. Peace with God, first of all. Peace with mankind. Peace with our fellow brothers. We have peace that we can be together. We can work through issues and difficulties. There's a willingness in us to do that. Patience. We're not saying, you know, this has just got to be over quick. This has to end right now. I have to have my way right away. But we can be long-suffering. That's the other word for that. We can endure difficult situations and not change our countenance and not give up and not get frustrated. These are things to look for in good leaders, and these are things we should want to have in ourselves. Kindness gets going out of our way to make somebody else feel welcomed and accepted and appreciated. You know, that's how it should be when people come in the doors. Like, you want to go out of your way to say, hey, I want to reach out to that person and make that person feel welcome here. Goodness. That's just living in such a way that you want to do the right thing that's pleasing to God, and that people can see that. And when you please God, you know, people can see that and they can feel that and understand that. Gentleness. One of my very favorites. Because I'm probably like most of you guys. I have to learn how to be gentle. It doesn't come natural. It's not part of my DNA. Right? I'm a lot better at just speaking harsh words or making frowns and faces and giving you body language that says that I'm frustrated. That's what kind of comes a little more natural to me. I mean, partly I look back, my dad was a sergeant in the Army. So when he came home, it was like he was barking out orders to his soldiers, and he asked us why we didn't police up the front yard. You know, and that was kind of how it was there. And I just think that, and all my football coaches were Army sergeants and things, you know. So that was normal to me. And if you play sports and your coaches, the old school coaches, you remember the old school coaches? This is a new school coach these days. The old school coaches used to just chew you out and just talk you down and just beat you up. And that, you know, you get around enough of that. This is the way that you talk. And this is the way guys talk to each other. But probably one of the greatest things that I ever learned from my marriage was how to be more gentle with my wife. And as I've learned that more and more, I think we've had a much closer and better relationship. So I'm very thankful for that one. And that comes from having God's Holy Spirit in your life. It doesn't mean you're weak. You're really strong. It takes to be really strong to be gentle. That just means that your strength is under control. And then the last one is self-control. You know, you just don't lose it. You're under control. You can be in a very difficult situation. You can remain calm. You can remain loving. You can remain caring. And you can endure things and get through things. And it's called self-control, but it's being under God's control. All right, that's from the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. All right, so we got these three other things, and these are going to be simpler. Back to the leaders. You know, we're looking for things in leaders. The leader should have a faith in God that is worth imitating. So when you're thinking about who is a leader for you, that person should have a real strong faith in God that's worth imitating. And when you think about yourselves and how you're put in these situations, like I had already said, moms are great leaders. Dads are great leaders. Grandmothers are great leaders. Grandfathers, aunts, uncles. A couple of the guys I put on my list were my grandfather and my uncle, who were Christian male role models to me. Those are guys that I thought of. But that you got to have a faith that's worth imitating. So that person needs to have a faith that you can look at and you can say, yeah, that's the kind of faith that I need to have and I need to grow in. All right, number three is a person who is a real leader is not just blown to and fro from every popular way of thought and from culture and how it changes. A real, true, solid spiritual leader needs to serve and needs to follow an unchanging Jesus Christ. The Jesus that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that person is just blown to and fro from every new teaching and from every popular thought and from every pressure that exists on society, then that person's not a strong leader. You got to be a strong leader. You got to follow and serve a Jesus that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that's true for you. If you want to be a good leader, you want to be a strong leader, you want to grow as a leader, you need to serve and follow an unchanging Jesus Christ. Number four, and the last one here, is spiritual leaders, they lead people to the cross. You know, the idea is not to just get a following for yourself. Like, do any of you guys tweet? Are any of you on Twitter? Yeah, there's a couple of you that are. I know a few of you here that do. But you know, just be honest. You look in there, you're like, how many people are following me? And that's what it's called on there. You have people following you. And then when you broadcast out your messages, they hear it. I mean, this is the world we live in. I've never signed up for that. I'm not on that. But, you know, there's people build up these big followings. How many people are following? Well, the idea is not to get a bunch of followers, but it's to lead people to Christ. And as I look back at those leaders in my life that made it the big difference, they were the ones that, it wasn't that they helped me to become a better football player or a better computer programmer or anything like that, but they helped me get close to Christ. And you can do that too. All right. Let's just take a moment and pray. And I just want to invite you guys to come on back up who are singing. Do we have a closing song? I don't know if it's the one that was before that or not, but you'll figure it out. All right, let's just take a minute and pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. I thank you for this book of Hebrews. Lord, I do thank you for those people that you've put in our lives, Lord, that have been strong leaders for us, Lord. We know that none of us are perfect, Lord. It's you that we need to ultimately look to and follow. But you put people in our lives that help us along the way and that do have faith that's worth imitating and that do lead us to the cross, Lord. Thank you for that. I pray also that as we're here today, that there is not a single person that's here today that doesn't desire to also be a leader and a good leader and to just serve you and follow you, Lord. Thank you for this word of encouragement and just help us to grow in you. And again, Lord, I just pray for our ladies that you'll strengthen them and bring them back safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.